You know how the internet came about? Mom, on the way to the delivery room, she was on the phone with the lady who is my godmother, and my godmother was asking, "What are you doing?" And my mom said, "I'm about to give birth." And she said, "No, you're not," because my mom was carrying on laughing, giggling on the way to the delivery room. So I tell you what, I was born in an atmosphere of joy. Hallelujah. And you know what? We have to enjoy the joy of the Lord. Say, "I'm joyful." What does it mean? What does joy mean? It's a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion. It's there are many kinds of joy in the Bible. But the joy that is produced in us as Christians comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from heaven. All right? It's usually a form of a verb to leap or spin around with pleasure. Say, "Oh, I can't leap and spin around." You know, you ought to just try it sometime. You remember those little toys that they used to have, the sit and spin, you know? You sit on that thing and you turn and it'd spin you around like that. True joy is not something. When you're like this, you're not going to convince me you got joy. We got to get the lemon juice out of you. Amen? It's a delight of the mind arising from the consideration of a present or assured position of a future good. When it's moderate, it's called gladness. When it raised suddenly to the highest degree, it's called exaltation. When the desires are limited by the possessions, it's called contentment. When we accomplish our desires, it's called satisfaction. When we vanquish an enemy, it's called triumph. And when joy has so long possessed the mind that it has settled into a temper, we call it cheerfulness. Hallelujah. Say, "I'm cheerful." Oh, yeah. The Bible speaks a lot about joy. About 164 times in the Old Testament and about 191 times in the New Testament. So there's something to this joy. Amen? And so I kind of had to break it down. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah. A very short book. It's only knee high. Some of you will be thinking about that in a moment. Nehemiah, chapter 8, and why don't you look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, or that's the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, how would you like to see today an event in our country where you have the leader of the country and the priest or the Levite right next to them addressing the people? Amen? You know, maybe if we got God more involved in government, there'd be more joy in a politician's life. Amen? So I want you to notice what took place here. The Levites that taught the people said unto the people, "This day is a holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not." Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't cry." Mourn not. He says, "Nor weep, for all the people wept when they had heard the words of the law." Then he said unto them, verse 10, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet." Hey, amen. The Bible says you can eat fat. Praise the Lord. Woo! Don't give me no fat-free stuff. Give me some fat in it. I want to eat the fat. That'll just cause you to rejoice right there. Glory to God, be free from all that stuff. They can't even tell you how much fat they took out. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Oh, they must have had sweet tea there or something like that. and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know that joy produces a spiritual strength? I want you to get this picture. They spent 52 days rebuilding the temple. And because they set out to rebuild the temple, they set out to do something good, they had opposition. Did you know that anytime you step out for the Lord, there's going to be someone to oppose you? But I say, on my opposers. On my opposers. You can do whatever you want to me, but I will never quit. I will never stop doing what God wants me to do. Amen? The devil cannot stop you. He cannot. Only if you let him. So they were, and you know, they had to build with one hand and hold a weapon in the other. Now, most people on a building project, they wouldn't appreciate that. If you came to build a building here on the VCF campus, and I gave you a gun and a machine gun, or a hammer and a machine gun, you know, you'd be like, what? I want a nail gun, not a machine gun. But they had to build and be prepared to defend at the same time. And they rebuilt the temple. And they took time out to have a service here in the midst of that. And Nehemiah makes this statement. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo, no matter what task I have been assigned to me, the joy is going to give me strength. Joy is going to strengthen my bones. Joy will oil your faith. It'll make your faith work good. Some might need an oil change today. And I apologize if I lick my lips more than often, but make an allowance for me today, amen? I'm telling you, the joy, God wants to give us some joy today. Anybody can use some joy? I mean, not this superficial thing, but I'm talking about real joy from heaven. That'll change your countenance. It'll turn you into another person. You know, I like the story when Saul was anointed king. And Samuel said, Saul, you're going to meet a group of prophets. And when you meet that group of prophets, the anointing is going to come upon you and it's going to change you into another man. And Saul laid on the ground prophesying. He prophesied so much that other people thought that Saul was a prophet. But see, when the anointing of God, when the power of God gets on you, it will affect you. It will change you. So you got to just relax today. Just relax and let the Lord do a makeover on you. Let him have his way in you. You know, there are three parts to a message that makes it effective. There is the Father, there is the messenger, and there is the hearer. And the Father's not going to put the brakes on. It's going to be either the hearer or the listener that's going to put the brakes on sometimes and prevent God from doing what he wants to do. So I want you to take your foot off the brake. You know, not like in driver's ed where the teacher has his brake on his side, you know, and he wants to stop for no reason that's apparent. But I want you to know today that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It'll make you strong. It'll help you endure. You know, Paul said, I finished my course with, I ran my race, I finished my course with joy. How many want to finish their course with joy, with exaltation? I want to cross the finish line in glory and in honor. I don't want to just barely slide in. Oh yeah, you're one of those holy rollers. Yeah, well, I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. See, I don't know what's going to happen today. God's got something in mind, amen? Go with me to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Yeah, my mother-in-law gave me this suit. She had it made for me in Guyana when I was there. Psalm 28. And let's go to verse 6. It says, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Say, greatly rejoices. When you know that the Lord is there to help, when you know that you can rely on him for anything, I'll tell you what, it takes the burden off you. One thing that I noticed about joy and its expression, it removes any burden that ever tried to grab itself onto you. I'm telling you what, there were times when we'd be sitting at a restaurant and the Holy Ghost would hit us and laughter would hit us. I remember one of my friends, he slid under the table in a restaurant. And after about 2 hours, they finally asked us, you guys need to go. We were having too good of a time. Listen, true joy is like a liter of soda, and you shake it up and take the lid off. What's going to happen? Something is going to come out. When you have true joy, something is going to come out. You cannot keep silent. You cannot keep still. Something is going to happen. Just let it happen. Okay, that went over really big. Listen, God is not going to force you to do anything. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, okay, he comes on you even though he's in us, but he'll come on you for a release of something. You know, he wants to release your captivity. And when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you got to respond. It's like lighting a fuse. If you don't get away from what the fuse that you lit, something's going to explode. So just let yourself blow up today. Amen. Said the Lord is, verse 8, he says, I will greatly rejoice, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good, knowing that I can be lifted up. Amen. He lifted us up out of the miry clay. He brought us up from the pit. He lifted us up out of the valley of depression and sorrow and pain. Hallelujah. Today you can trade your pain in. You can get an upgrade. You can receive a healing today. You can receive something from the Lord today. He's here to give. He's got a banquet table and the bill's already been paid. So it's up to you to come and to feast on his goodness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17. Glory to God. There's joy in this place. How do I know? Because the Lord, the joy giver's here. Amen? Do you know, if you know the healer, healing comes with it? If you know the Savior, salvation comes with it? Did you know that? It's a total package that we get. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. The Bible says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Another translation said, a joyful heart is like medicine. He says, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Woo, see, joy lubricates your life. Joy lubricates your faith. Hallelujah. Ooh, it'll make every part of your faith work smooth and without squeaks and bumps and all that. Joy will lubricate your life. I tell you what, a merry heart does good like medicine. I heard a report one time where they were doing an experiment and they were dealing with these people that had terminal illnesses, and they sat them down in front of the Three Stooges. Remember the Three Stooges program? Masters in slapstick comedy? Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! Larry, Moe, and Curly. Not that I watched a lot of Three Stooges in my life. Woo, 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 woo. I love the Three Stooges, but you know what? That laughter that came as a result, it brought about healing in their life. Oh, if we could just laugh. Yeah, let's have a laughing party. Ha, ha, ha. Say that with me. Say ha, ha, ha. You know, if you just start making yourself laugh, go ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, it'll eventually, kick in. Amen? Well, I don't feel like laughing. Yeah, the Bible says when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, count it all joy. Ooh, sometimes you got to have a joy countdown, all right? Why do you count down? Because that means you get enough joy, you're going to be blasting off pretty soon. You can read that in James 1. Yeah, when you fall into diverse trials, it says, count it all joy. One joy, two joy. Count however as long as it takes for you to get that joy, for that joy to well up within you. Amen? Go to Isaiah chapter 35. It's amazing. I had to make this. There's so much the Bible says about this subject. Joy, rejoicing, gladness. Be a cheerful giver. It's expressed with shouting and dancing and singing and praising and laughing. Oh, did you know that you can express joy with laughter? We can't laugh in church. Why not? We got the source of joy. We got the well of joy right here. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. I like that. God, if you're in a wilderness, a desert, a barren place, a solitary place, gladness can come to you. You could be in the most barren place of your life, and God can shower you with gladness and cause joy to come up within you. Joy is not based on your circumstances. Joy is not based on your family. Joy is not based on your job. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It has something to do with Jesus. Joy comes from Jesus. They have the same first letter. Everything about Jesus was a news of joy. There was nothing bad news. There was no bad news when it came to Jesus. The angel said, I'm going to give you news of great joy. It's joy to all men. Everything about Jesus was joyful. Everyone who came in contact with Jesus rejoiced in some way. So you think we can do it today? We certainly can. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. He can make a barren place fruitful. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly. Everything God does is abundantly, more than enough. He's a too much God. And rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. He's talking about a barren place. He's talking about transforming a place that had limited growth. And it all has to do with joy. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And notice what will happen. Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Woo! I want to get in that stream. Hey, go with me to Psalm 46 for a minute. Psalm 46. I love this psalm. How many has ever been in a walking in a river? You know, in my hometown, we did a lot of fishing in rivers. And I actually got baptized in a river. Some of my friends, we were out and we said, have you ever been baptized? And I said, well, no, at that time I was only sprinkled, but I wasn't baptized. And so they baptized me right there. But you notice a river, what's something the same about every river? It always has a certain direction. It's always moving. Whether the water seems to look still or whether it's fast moving, the water in a river is always moving. It's always turning. You never enter a river at the same place twice. Why? Because the minute you enter the river, water has come, and now you're entering into a new part because that water is continually moving and it's shifting. Psalm 46. And let's go to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where is God in trouble? He's right near you, very present. When trouble arises, it takes it. What do you do when you take? Oh, it takes attendance. When trouble arises on the scene, it takes attendance, and God says, "I'm here. I'm a very present help in trouble." All right. And then it says, "Therefore, because God is here, He's present. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, verse 4, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Hallelujah. Guess what? You are the city of God. You are the building of God. You are the temple of God. And there is a river that makes the temple glad. There is a river that is flowing that brings gladness and joy with it. That river is the river of the Holy Spirit. It's the river of the anointing. And you just got to get in and get in the river. It brings refreshing growth wherever it goes. All right? Go with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Now the presence of the Lord, He's our source of joy. It's His presence. It's His power. It's His person that is here that produces the joy in us. Psalm 16, verse 11. The Bible says this. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is some joy. In your presence is a little joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me tell you something. Our God is a fun God. There, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's so much joy that you can't contain it. There's so much joy that you only need a little dabble, do you? There is so much joy in the presence of the Lord that it's like fireworks. And there are pleasures at His right hand for how long? Forevermore. Our God is a fun God. Our God is a loving God. He wants you to have joy, and it comes from His presence. It comes from knowing Him. It comes from fellowshipping with Him. How long does it take to get in the presence of God? It doesn't take too long. As soon as you turn your heart to God, you can be in His presence. He said to every believer, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So anytime that you need grace, you know, grace is His strength, His favor. Anytime that you need grace, you can come before the throne and get some. Come get some. Anybody needs some grace? Anybody needs some joy? Come get some. Come get some. Be like that earth-moving equipment. It digs the claw, you know, it stretches out, it digs that dirt, and it pulls it up. See, it's grabbing hold of the dirt. It's clearing the way. All you've got to do to receive joy from the Lord is to come. There's no prerequisite. Come and receive. Say, I'm a receiver. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 13. Now, everybody say now. Why wait to have joy another hour? Oh, I'll get my joy in an hour. No. Faith is what? Now. Now faith is. Right now. Now, he said, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So you got to come believing, and you're going to get joy and peace too. You know, when Solomon prayed for wisdom, he got riches and honor that he didn't expect. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That sounds to me like God will fill you with joy anytime that you need it. When your tank is empty in your car, what do? You say, look at my empty tank. Look at that E. What am I going to do? Do you sit there and argue with your gauge to whether what do you do when your tank is empty? You go get it filled. And you say, fill her up. And you don't have to give a credit card. You don't have to give a dollar bill because it's free. When you're hungry, what do? Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. Go get something to eat. If you need something to eat, come to my house. I'll give you something to eat. We got stuff to eat in the kitchen. Eat meat, greet and eat. My point is, when you're empty, when you're running on low, you know, if God has to fly a tanker to your house, you know those tankers that refuel the jets in midair? You know, they have these tankers and this hose comes and this has a receiving, this has a giving, and it gets connected, and fluid goes from this one into this one, and this one gets full so that it can accomplish the mission. Because they need, see, if you're only half full, you only do half of what God wants you to do. When God told Samuel to anoint David, he said, fill your horn with oil and go. See, you better be sure that your horn is filled with oil. Amen. The oil of the joy for mourning. Woo, you got a squeaky part in your life? Put some oil of joy on it. You know, spray some oil on it, whatever it takes. Douse yourself with oil. It's right now. God wants to fill you. God wants to fill you. Say, God wants to fill me. God desires for us to be full more than we desire it sometimes. You know, he's chomping at the bit. He says, oh, I got so many good things for you. I got so many wonderful things for you. Just come and get them. They're yours for the taking. But we don't take them. We expect God to do it for us. Well, that's great if you can't do anything yourself, but if you can do something, you don't need to wait for him to do it. He's waiting for you. It's already been prepared. He's already prayed. Amen? You know, we ate at a restaurant one time in Missouri called Lambert's Cafe. And Lambert's Cafe, they're the home of the throwed rolls. And if you go to Lambert's Cafe, they have one in Sikeston, Missouri. They have one in Springfield, Missouri. And if you want a hot roll, you know what they're going to do? They're going to throw it to your table. And I ordered a chef salad, and the waitress looked at me and said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I want a chef salad. I am not lying. That chef salad was this big and this high. I couldn't even eat a third of it. And not only that, with also throwing rolls to your table, if you want a roll, they'll literally chuck one across the room. It's amazing. And they'll come, everything, they had hamburgers the size of a plate. And so my mom had been there before, and I always wanted to go because she told me about this place, and I was just so glad that I finally got to go. And plus, if you order anything, they come around with these big pots of greens, of beans, of sorghum, and anytime, if you want anything, they'll come to your table and say, they got this big spoon, and they'll put whatever you want on your plate. It's all you can eat. And let me tell you something, if you go out there hungry, it's nobody's fault but your own. It took me 3 days to eat that chef salad. But that's how our God is. He wants you to be full. You know, I've been over people's houses, and they're so pleased when I get full. And they're so willing to make sure that I can have all that I need to be full. And I do my best to live up to that. Amen? And that's how God is too. You know, if someone were to take the time and the effort to prepare a meal for you and offer it you as a gift, then their job is done. The gift is already prepared. You've already had your invitation. Now it's up to you to respond to that invitation and to receive and to enjoy. Amen? You got to enjoy your food. Go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We doing okay so far? Are we having fun? Yeah, joy and peace. This guy went to this place and he said joy and peace were plentiful. And they were on the same shelf, songs and praises were hanging everywhere. So I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, how much do I really owe? He smiled and said, just take them everywhere you go. But I said, no, I want to pay. How much do I really owe? He said, Jesus paid it all on Calvary a long time ago. So you just take peace and joy with you wherever you go. Amen. It's always with you with the presence of the Lord. You know, Jesus is a spirit. He can be everywhere at every time. He's omnipresent. All right? John 15. Look at verse 11. Well, go back to verse 10. It said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, your joy is directly connected with his joy being on the inside of you. He comes to pour things out from heaven. He's a blesser, and he'll pour it out, and it'll get inside you, and it's in you. But in order for your joy to be full, you got to have his joy in you. Look at that again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Who's it up to whether or not his joy remains in you? It's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to your mama or your daddy or your spouse. It's up to you. You got to make a decision that you're going to let his joy remain in you. That means when things happen, like you get stung by bees and hornets, you can't lose your joy. When you pass out on your kitchen floor, you still can have joy because it has nothing to do with that. Listen, my joy comes from the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. It belongs to him, and he gives it to me. He lets me use his joy. Say, here's my joy. Go have a good time with it. You can't wreck it. You can't destroy it. All you can do is enjoy it. Enjoy his joy. Relish in his joy. Bask in his joy. Celebrate his joy. Get excited about his joy. There was one guy who had a sign in his office, and it said, you got 10 seconds to get excited about something in my office or get out. Go to John 17. John 17. Verse 13. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Woo, see, I tell you what, the things of this world can't affect your joy because you're not of this world. Woo, we are aliens. We are strangers. We are sojourners. Hallelujah. We're just passing through this thing called earth. It's just but a vapor. Our life is but a vapor. So you got to make the best of your vapor right now in the name of Jesus. You got only one life. One life. And you better decide to do it joyfully. Because there are a lot of things that try to steal your joy. You know, if the devil can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. If he's got your joy, they're called joy suckers, time suckers. You know, they come and they attach themselves like leeches and they suck from you. They suck things that you didn't give them authorization to give them. You got to beware of joy suckers. When David arrived on the battle scene, when the Israelites were arrayed against the Philistines, his brother was trying to steal his joy. He said, oh, who'd you leave that little sheep with? He was trying to belittle him. You know what David did? He just said, I ain't paying no mind to you. He just turned the other way. See, when you got a joy sucker that's trying to suck joy, don't pay them any mind. Just ignore them. You ignore the devil long enough and he'll get tired of speaking. So God's presence is the source of joy. And joy is a strength that causes you to live this Christian life victoriously. Not laboriously, but victoriously. Some people focus on the labor, but I want to focus on the victory. Amen? Let's be victory-minded. It's not be labor-minded. God didn't form a labor union. He said it's not by works anyway. Now, did you know that gladness is the cure for sadness? Look at your neighbor and say, gladness is the cure for sadness. So if you come across someone that's a little sad, you got to do your best to make them glad. Amen? What does the Bible say about gladness curing sadness? Go with me to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Isn't it interesting how Psalms are a book of praise, and that's where it has a lot to say about joy? You know, when you're joyful, you'll praise better. Hallelujah. You know what? We ought to enjoy our time worshiping God. We ought to enjoy our time in the presence of the Lord. But too many times we come in, oh, Pastor, I'm just being wore out. I'm carrying all the burdens. Well, the Bible says, cast your cares unto the Lord. What are you doing carrying around? You weren't designed to carry the load. That's why you're so burdened down. You got to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you and run the race with patience that God has set you on. And you can run. This is a joyful race. Psalm 30, verse 5. Says this, for his anger endures but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'll tell you what, when you have a bad day, God schedules you a good day following a bad day. He'll schedule you a bad week. He'll schedule you a good week following a bad week. What's my point? Yeah, weeping may endure through the night, but joy is going to come and cancel that weeping. Joy is going to come and change your mourning. Joy is going to come and gladness is going to cure your sadness. Woo, I like that. You can tell people, go to work and say, listen, I've discovered a cure for sadness. And I didn't have to raise money or anything, but I've got the cure for sadness. And they're going to look at you like, what? So let me tell you, the cure for sadness is Jesus. I'm telling you, we probably encounter a lot of people that are sad at work. Well, what are you going to do with the joy that's in you? You going to keep it to yourself? I hate the people that I work with. I hate my boss. You old sourpuss. It's no wonder you're having such a bad time. Go in there with a different attitude. You know, your attitude will determine your altitude. Oh yeah, just talk to Joseph. It was his attitude that got him to the highest place in Egypt. Don't be going in there complaining, mumbling, grumbling about this person, about that person, about what they do, what they didn't do. Talk about what the Lord does. Walk like you're a child of God. Walk like you got something on the inside of you because you do. You got the power of God. You got the joy of God. Did you know that Jesus, he changed circumstances and he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, but Pastor, he was God. But yeah, he gave his ability to act like God up. He did what he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So when he met Zacchaeus, who was a shrewd tax collector, man, Zacchaeus was a business person that put number one first until he met Jesus. And just the meeting with Jesus impacted Zacchaeus so much that he said, I'll repay four times what I cheated people out of. Jesus simply changed the atmosphere of Zacchaeus' life just by his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. Jesus brought joy to Zacchaeus. Before he had labor, before he had greed, before he had self-interest, but when he met Jesus, that all went away and he became a giver. Psalm 23:5 says, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. He'll anoint your head to overflow. You're supposed to overflow. See, overflow means you got something not only for yourself, but for others as well. You're supposed to overflow. But when your cup is half full, it's hard to overflow. You got to shake it really hard. See, that's why God has to shake people sometimes. He's got to shake them up because they're not quite full. And what's on the inside only spreads on the outside when they get shook up. I remember I was in the Czech Republic, and we were there on a missions trip. And we met this Swedish evangelist. His name was Peter. And we had a Bible study in this apartment. And for 45 minutes, I shook under the power of God. My breathing was, I mean, just the power on me was so strong, I was just shaking. And he began to prophesy. He began to say things about my life, about what I'm doing today. He spoke back in 94. Don't know why I said all that. But, to overflow. You got to overflow. It's not, we got to get out of the mentality, us four and no more. That went over real big there. We got to get over this attitude that it's us four and no more. I ain't giving up that attitude. I'll fight you for it. Listen, you are a carrier of the anointing. How would you like your mail carrier never to deliver mail to your house that's addressed to you? And the bill collector says, you never paid your bill. I never got the bill. No, I sent it. No, I didn't get it. There's something with the mailman. See, you got to go after it. You can't wait for it to come to you. You got to go after it. Look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Look at verse 7. You love righteousness. Say, I love righteousness. And hate wickedness. Say, I hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. All your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and acacia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Woo, did you know that joy has an aroma about it? You can walk in and just your presence. I remember one time we were coming back from a crusade in Fort Worth, Texas. And we were traveling on a bus, and there was about 35 people on this bus. And I sat next to this young girl, and we were just talking. And she went to the church that I went to in Illinois. And all of a sudden, I started laughing hysterically, uncontrollably. You know, just, and then what happened was, I would just simply stand like this. I wouldn't say a word. But I'm laughing, you know, and I just look at people like this, and all of a sudden, they would just start laughing. You know, uncontrollably. See, they would just have this effect on it, you know? And all of a sudden, there was about 30 out of 35 people laughing on that bus, falling over. Why? Because joy has an aroma to it. Yeah. I'm just going to stay here for a minute until you overflow, bro. Hallelujah. See, now I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here, you know? But see, this is the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to always lay hands on people, you know, but just the presence. Joy has an aroma about it. You know, when you go into a bakery, you know that something's been in the oven. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, yeah, Lord, fill them up. Full, full, full. Yeah. Yeah, all those burdens that you've been under are being wiped away right now in Jesus' name because of joy. See, joy has an aroma. It'll make your clothes smell like myrrh and aloe. Shh. Hallelujah. So, yeah, I just started walking down the bus. This happened in Tennessee, too. You know, they were showing meetings of Kenneth Hagin, and they were showing Holy Ghost meetings that he was doing. And what they were doing in the meetings, we were watching it by satellite in Tennessee, but they were showing these meetings, and what was happening in the meetings were happening where we were, too. you know? And see, but joy has an aroma. It'll make your clothes smell like myrrh and aloe. It's the oil of gladness. It's joy. Just let it go. Don't hold it back. Let it go. Amen? Just yield to that. Have a good time in the Lord. Just enjoy yourself. You know? He'll pluck all the feathers that would hinder us. Amen? He takes all the excess, all the junk, he removes it. And what's left is good. Amen? Hallelujah. So, joy is like an oil. He'll anoint. He has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Ha! You don't know where this joy is coming from, but it's there. It's real. It's the presence of the Lord. Amen. It'll make you strong. Even though I can laugh for 15 minutes, and you know your gut might hurt afterwards, but that's okay. But just enjoy it. Amen. You know, there were a lot of people that rejoiced in the Bible. Let me just read a couple of these. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I've discovered that most of these people rejoiced when they gave something. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is after, go back up to verse 24 though, in verse 1. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine. You know, wine is another symbol of joy, and God will give you new wine. Amen. I like to tell people I don't drink Old Crow or Wild Turkey, but I drink White Dove. Amen. Fresh from heaven. And the bar's open. When she had weaned him, she took him up with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And there they slew the bullock, they prayed to the Lord. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. You know, Jesus said in John 16:24, ask and receive that your joy might be full. And verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. She had prayed to God for this son. She could not have kids, but she prayed to the Lord. The Lord answered her request, and she just now dedicated him to the temple. After weaning him, she gave him freely over to the Lord. She put him into the Lord's hands, and it produced joy. And she began to rejoice. And if you read down to verse 14, it talks about she just begins to magnify God, how great God is. And she had a party. We got to release that joy. See, there, some of us are so bound. We got to break those bonds that are holding you down, that are holding you back. You got to break free. You're being held. You're being constricted like a boa constrictor. There is a spirit called Python. And it twists. It twists the words that you hear, and it constricts, and it makes you immovable, incapable. It starts to compress you so that you can't breathe. But when joy comes on, you to break those bonds into pieces. When Paul and Silas began to rejoice, they began to sing praises. They had been beaten. They were in stocks and chains, and it was the midnight hour. There was no lamp in the jail cell, but they found something to praise God about. And when they began to praise God, that's when their chains were broken out of. When they stopped, when they said, I'm not going to be silent, I'm not going to sit here like a bump on the log, that's when their chains broke off. It wasn't until. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm heading towards the finish line. The finish line is in sight, but we're not there yet. There's some more rejoicing that needs to be done here. Hallelujah. Don't make me come out there next to you. Just kidding. 1 Chronicles 29. And let's look at verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know, David was accused of one time of being excessive in his joy when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines. And the first time he failed miserably because he didn't do it the way God wanted it done. But the second time, when he did it the way God wanted it done, he began to rejoice. He began to dance and spin around wildly. And he didn't have any undergarments on, and he was flashing himself. And people got offended at his expression, particularly his wife. And because of the offense that she took at his expression of joy, she became barren for the rest of her life. Listen, don't criticize people's expression. Just let people express themselves however they want to express themselves. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're free to express yourself. Say, express yourself. Express yourself. I got something to express. You can't put it in words, but you can express it. Sometimes the joy of the Lord is so overwhelming, you can't describe it with words. It takes action. It takes you to just to get have a crazy praise, just to let loose and let go. These guys rejoiced for the offering. If you take all the elements, David, out of his own money, gave over $1 billion in an offering. That wasn't even a tithe. Can you say hallelujah? And they rejoiced to be able to give that to the house of God. There was great joy. Giving produces joy. When the wise men came, they followed the star to where Jesus was, and they entered into the house. And when they saw him, they rejoiced greatly, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped him. They said, "Woo, there's joy here because his presence was there." And wherever his presence is, there is always joy. Jesus never has a bad hair day. He never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. Jesus' day is always good. It's always even. It's always up. It's never down. And his presence is that source of joy. How about in Acts chapter 5? Peter had gotten a guy healed. And as a result of getting someone healed, they were sentenced to the county jail. And before they got put in jail, they got beat. And they came out of that jail rejoicing. They were considered worthy of being of suffering for the Lord. They thought it a great joy. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They came back to their own company rejoicing. "What, Peter, you just got beat." "No, I didn't. They might have beat my body, but they didn't beat me." Hallelujah. That's how you got to think. They might have beat my body, but your body is not you. Your body is just your house. And if you get a little hail damage in your house, that's okay. It doesn't affect you. Glory to God. They rejoiced. You know, rejoicing is a form. Why does God say rejoice? Because you didn't do it good enough the first time, so you got to redo it. I like, he gives you a redo. Everybody can take a test of joy. And if you fail, you get a redo, a rejoice. Hallelujah. You got to rejoice. You got to let loose. You got to let go of some things. You got to let yourself go. Hallelujah. You got to let that joy flow. Don't be a clog in the pipe. You might need some Holy Ghost Drano to remove that clog. The water can't get through because it's clogged. It's clogged by your thinking. It's clogged by your experience. It's clogged by your environment. It's clogged by religion for a lot of people. Oh, I'm not going to say that, no. Let me tell you something. When it comes to religion, we need a good Holy Ghost enema. Religion will clog your life up. Jesus didn't come to give us a religion. He came to give us a relationship. Zacchaeus greatly rejoiced when he saw Jesus. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And then Acts chapter 8, and then we're going to be done. Acts 2 and Acts 8. You know what? The devil put so many things in your life to try to steal your joy. Why would he do that if joy wasn't so important? Why would someone try to steal something that wasn't of great value? Huh? But he's always trying to get you into flesh and steal your joy. Just purpose in your heart that you're not going to let him have it, or you'll let him have it in the name of Jesus. Another kind of having. Some of you will get that later. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now there was 3,120 people that all had to get along. And notice they held things in common. Now I want you to notice this atmosphere. Verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. Their life was so transformed that their dinners were now fun. They ate their meat with gladness. There was a joy that came on these people, even though they held all these things in common, even though they were close knit, they were bumping shoulders. You know, that's my towel. No, that's my hat. No, that's my lunchbox. In the midst of all these people working together, there was gladness. And it affected the way they fellowshiped. It affected their dinners. And go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He brought the presence of the Lord by preaching Christ. What comes with the presence? Joy. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. The devil doesn't like the atmosphere of joy. It drives him nuts. Just like it drives anybody nuts if you're feeling like you're being laughed at. Ha, 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 Mr. Devil. Say, ha, 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 devil. Oh, come on now. Say, ha, 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 devil. Did the Bible say that? Yeah. Because notice, okay, unclean spirits were cast out. People were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Where there's great joy, the devil doesn't like to hang around. Hallelujah, because he's a stick in the mud. The devil is no fun. He's been defeated. He's a party pooper. But we've got the party creator in God. So, joy, it's your strength. It comes from the presence of the Lord. And gladness is the only cure for sadness. So when you see people that are down, Just let them know. Say, I got a cure for sadness. And just begin to share with them. your cure for sadness. And then we see all these people that we have listed here who rejoiced. You know, when Mary, when she accepted the word of the Lord, she couldn't help but she burst out in song. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. She began to sing. She began to exalt. When John the Baptist came into the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb, he got so excited he couldn't talk, but he could kick. He could jump in the womb. He got so excited at the presence of the Lord. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. Rejoice in Him. Why so downcast? We've been delivered from the pickle juice jar. We're not baptized in pickle juice. We're baptized in joy in the presence of the Lord. We don't have to have a sour look on our face or a sour thought in our mind. Why? We can benefit from the joy of the Lord. Amen. Everybody say this. Say, joy is good. Sorrow is bad. Joy is good. Hallelujah. Joy's been given to me. Jesus said, I'll put my joy in you. Here's what he says. I can't make that sound with my lip. Gluck, 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 gluck. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God for all things. So when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, some people thought they were drunk. They were intoxicated. It wasn't with wine they were intoxicated. Peter said, they're not drunk like you think they are. They're not drunk as you suppose. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He didn't say that they weren't intoxicated. He didn't say that they weren't acting goofy. He said, they're not drunk like you think they are. But something was going on. They were acting funny. It caused a whole group of people, what's going on up there? Let's go see what's going on up there. So if you want joy, come and get it. Let me leave you with this quote. Somewhere in here. Anyone can sing in the sunshine. You and I should sing on when the sun has gone down or when clouds pour out their rain, for Christ is with us. There is more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. I've tried them both, R.A. Torrey. There's more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. Amen? So why don't you stand up with me? Oh, hallelujah, Father. We just give you thanks and praise and glory for the precious anointing. Lord, you anoint our head with oil. He gives you the joy of oil for mourning. He'll turn your mourning into dancing. Oh, hallelujah, it's time to lift up those heavy hands. Oh, hallelujah, it's time to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. You ought to be doing some rejoicing right now. I can't do it for you. You got to start rejoicing. You got to start yielding to that in the name of Jesus. Do something you've never done before. Hallelujah. Oh, yield yourself to that joy. Get happy for the Lord. Get happy. He's on the inside of you. He's redeemed you from sickness. He bought you. He brought you up out of the miry clay. He set your feet upon the rock. Oh, he washed you in his blood. He calls you his own. He fellowships with you. Lord Jesus, we just give you thanks and praise that from the front to the back, Father, that everybody that needs a touch of joy, Lord, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Father, we will experience the true joy, the joy of the Lord. And we just give you thanks and praise, Father, that you fill us with your joy right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you need some joy, why don't you just come on up here right now? Come get some. in Jesus' name. Now, if you have a